أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، welcome to another episode of our tafsir page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we're on page 85, which is in the fifth juz of the Quran in Surah An-Nisa. In the previous episode, we mentioned a number of instructions that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives concerning the role of the husband and the wife and the relationship between these two very important members of our community. Every husband and every wife being the building blocks of the family, because essentially they will then become parents. Those two people have a very important role in Islam. And that is why the Sharia, whether it's in the Quran or through the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mentions a number of instructions, guidelines, recommendations for these two people. Their rights that they have are important. Their role and function that they play in the community is also extremely important. From the issues that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, as we touched upon in the previous episode, is that men have a certain responsibility that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to them. And we spoke about how that responsibility should be understood in the correct context. And always, when Allah Azza wa Jalla gives instructions like this, the best way to understand them is simply to look at the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla and from the wisdoms of sending messengers with revelation. Not just revelation by itself, but a messenger that brings that revelation, understands, explains, and applies that revelation. So when Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about the husband being the head of the family, what does that mean? Let us look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the way in which he showed this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, as we know, the best of examples. And so that is one of the issues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the previous verse. The role of the husband and wife, therefore, is extremely pivotal, because those two people, once they have children by Allah's decree, they become parents, the mother and the father. Their children essentially become the future of the community. They are the next generation. And so if every group or every pairing of husband and wife that then become mother and father did their duty, upheld the responsibility that Allah Azza wa Jalla has placed upon their shoulders to the best of their ability, because no doubt guidance is from Allah, and Allah is the one who ultimately guides and misguides, but the parents can only do what they can that is humanly possible in terms of fulfilling their responsibility, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would honor and bless our communities. And that is something which you found and still find in certain communities, but it has become, especially in many societies now in the West, and even to be fair in the rest of the world, it is becoming the case now where those bonds are becoming looser and that structure is becoming more fractured. And so we don't find that same level of due diligence and dedication that's being given now to our family members. And that's because sometimes people don't think that that's as important as perhaps getting money and earning an income and being able to buy certain things and comforts and so on. Whereas before, people considered families to be extremely important. And so sometimes if I have to sacrifice a level of comfort, but ensure that I can give my children the education, the upbringing that they need, we would do so. But people now have certain different priorities. And so for us as Muslims, we know that from the greatest means of sadaqatul jariyah, of continuous charity, is righteous children by Allah's permission. So therefore, if it's something, looking at it from an Islamic point of view, a viewpoint of the akhirah and reward, then no doubt those people, those children of ours, in terms of the time, the commitment, the effort, the love, the support that we show to them, the education and tarbiyah that we give to them, they have an extremely important role, not only in terms of societies and communities, but in terms of our own legacy, what we leave behind, and inshallah the reward that we can accumulate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned the issue of differences between spouses and how they should appoint judges from their families to come and arbitrate and try to reconcile between them. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions to us the rights of other people, those in the community in general. From them are those people who have rights over us because of their situation. They're poor, they're orphans, they're needy. And some of them have rights over us because of their connection to us and their relationship, their relatives, their parents, their neighbors and companions. So we begin, inshallah ta'ala, today from verse 38, and that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. والذين ينفقون أموالهم رئاء الناس ولا يؤمنون بالله ولا باليوم الآخر ومن يكن الشيطان له قرينا فساء قرينا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and he also does not like those who spend their wealth to show off, those who do not believe in him or the last day, and indeed whoever has shaitan as his companion has an evil companion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, remember at the end of the last episode, we mentioned those verses that Allah azza wa jal says that he doesn't like the arrogant, doesn't like those who are boastful, doesn't like those who are miserly, don't spend upon those in need, and those who then order others to become miserly and not to be charitable, and those who conceal the many bounties and blessings that Allah Azza wa Jalla has bestowed upon them. And likewise, from those people that Allah doesn't like, Allah mentions in this verse, are those people who do spend, but they only spend to show off, not because they believe in Allah and the last day. And that is those people who feel like they should spend, or they want to spend to get the accolades of other people and their praise and to garner their affection. And so they will spend to show off. They will spend to impress. They will spend to show that they are charitable, that they're not haughty, they're not arrogant, that yes, I have this money, but I will give. They're not sincere in that sense. They don't do it for Allah and they don't do it for the last day. And often you will find that one of the major differences between those people, and I'm speaking about Muslims here obviously, those people, is that those people who spend sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, it doesn't make a difference to them whether they are known or unknown, whether their names are mentioned or not mentioned, whether people acknowledge them or don't acknowledge them, whether people thank them or not, because their main intention is the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whereas those people who know, they need to be known, their names need to be mentioned, they need to have a record, it needs to be photographed, documented, spread and shared. Often you find that those people have this internal maybe issue that they're struggling with, between the sincerity aspect and between garnering the praise and the accolades of people and their affection. And so that is something which a person has to be wary of, because we know that riya, showing off, is something which destroys and nullifies deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts that which is purely and sincerely for his sake subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal give us sincerity. And sincerity is one of those issues that needs constant struggle and fighting. Constantly you have to battle with your heart, because shaitan is ever present trying to take a person's intention and sincerity away from Allah Azza wa Jal, and to dilute it by adding into it these other means and other paths that lead to dunya and so on and so forth. And so here Allah Azza wa Jal says that these people who show off and they spend in the way of Allah showing off, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept it from them. But rather they have followed the path of shaitan. And whoever shaitan becomes their companion, then what an evil companion. And so all of us have, as we know, as the Prophet told us sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a devil that runs through us. He is constantly whispering to us, constantly commanding us and encouraging and prompting us to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we have also our fitrah and our conscience that tells us to worship Allah azza wa jal, our iman that points us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we choose as a companion shaitan, then that is a sign of evil. But rather we have to battle shaitan and his temptations, and within that there is a great reward and a great honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah azza wa jal knows how difficult that can be, especially at certain times, in certain places, in certain circumstances. It can be extremely difficult. And that is why Allah azza wa jal praises those people who are able to overcome the whisperings of shaitan. And Allah azza wa jal has opened the door of forgiveness and tawbah for those people who sometimes fall into the temptations of shaitan, but then they regret what they did and they turn back to their Lord, seeking his forgiveness subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse number 39, وَمَاذَا عَلَيْهِمْ لَوْ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَهُمُ اللَّهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِهِمْ عَلِيمًا. And what harm would it do to them to believe in Allah and the last day and to give charitably from the sustenance that Allah has given to them? Indeed Allah knows them well. These last couple of verses, the last verse that we took in the previous episode and the verse that we took before this, verse 38 and now verse 39, speaks about these attributes of these people, and they are primarily disbelievers. But these verses that speak about the disbelievers, those attributes can apply to the believers as well. The difference is that the person has already committed shirk. They don't worship Allah Azza wa Jal, and then they have these other attributes that are evil. The believer who does worship Allah, believes in Allah, has the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, has to be wary lest some of those attributes apply to them. So you can be a Muslim and you can show off. You can be a Muslim, you can be arrogant. You can be a Muslim and be miserly and order others or encourage others to be miserly. You can be a Muslim and you can do certain things that Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioning in these verses, such as boasting and so on. And so the Muslim has to be careful. They have to be mindful. Why? Because if that becomes your norm, and that's something which becomes your, you know, part and parcel of your character, then either it will lead to you sinning and disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal, or your good deeds being nullified because of certain things like showing off taking place, or it may at the extreme level even lead you towards rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and some of His Sharia. And that's why arrogance is so, and pride and arrogance is so dangerous. That's why showing off is so dangerous. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that there are certain signs of hypocrisy. Stay away from them. The one who speaks and he lies, the one who breaks his promises, the one who doesn't fulfill his trusts. That doesn't mean that the Muslim who breaks his promise is a munafiq, he's a hypocrite, but it means that that's a sign of hypocrisy. Be careful, because if you do that often and that becomes your norm, then it may lead you to the greater hypocrisy, which is rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even at the smaller level, it is still a hypocrisy, because hypocrisy is being two-faced. So likewise, the Muslim has to be aware of arrogance, because today you're just being arrogant in terms of the way that you're looking down upon someone. But tomorrow your arrogance leads you to rejecting certain parts of Allah's laws. And that is dangerous, to say that Allah Azza wa Jal, I don't agree that that's obligatory. I don't agree that that's from the religion of Allah. I don't agree that that applies to me. That's a very dangerous thing to have. And we see that in our time. We see people saying, oh, I don't think I have to wear the hijab. I don't think I have to pray. I don't think I should have to give the zakah. I don't think that riba is haram for me, or whatever it may be. These types of assertions, these types of things, it is coming from a place in which there is also arrogance. And that is that a person doesn't humble themselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and know their true place, that their place and purpose in this life is servitude, one of submission to their Lord and Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse number 39 that those people who refuse to spend in the way of Allah, those people who don't believe in Allah in the last day, وَمَاذَا عَلَيْهِمْ What harm would it do? Especially if a person doesn't think that there's anything coming after this life. There's nothing else anyway. What harm would it do to you to err on the side of caution? Someone is saying to you that if you go down that road, you may be punished. Maybe. There's a trap there, maybe there's some harm there, maybe you'll die down that road. But on this road, I know that there's nothing that's going to happen to you. A sensible person, if they had that choice in this life, they would say, okay, let me err on the side of caution, and I'll take this path, just in case on that path there's some harm or some death or destruction that will occur to me. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that there would have been no harm upon them had they simply believed in Allah, believed in Yawm al-Qiyamah, believed and given charitably from that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has provided for them. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows them well. In verse number 40, Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ وَإِن تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا وَيُؤْتِ مِن لَّدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. He does not wrong anyone by as much as the weight of a speck of dust. He doubles any good deed and gives a tremendous reward of his own. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah Azza wa Jalla does not oppress. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith al-Qudsi, that Allah Azza wa Jalla said, إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ ظُلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُم مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. Allah Azza wa Jalla said in the hadith al-Qudsi that indeed I have made oppression haram upon myself. Allah made it prohibited upon himself. And therefore I have made it prohibited amongst you, so do not oppress one another. Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't oppress. And Allah does not love oppression. And oppression is to take something from its rightful place and to put it somewhere else. To not fulfill someone's rights, to withhold someone's rights, to harm them in a way, or to oppress them in some other. These are all types of oppression. Allah Azza wa Jalla does not oppress even in the smallest amount, an atom's weight of oppression. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not perform. And so therefore what a person receives, they receive either because of the good that they did, in which case Allah, through His favor and His mercy and His bounty, increases and multiplies, or they receive because of the evil that they did, in which case from the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His fairness is that they receive exactly that which they did. So when you do a good deed, Allah multiplies it by 10 up to 700 and more if He wishes subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for one deed, the least that you will receive is 10 times its reward. But when it comes to evil deeds, Allah only gives you one. Allah doesn't multiply, Allah doesn't increase, but Allah Azza wa Jalla gives you exactly what you have. And that is why in the hadith al-Qudsi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah azza wa jal said, the old child of Adam, إِنَّمَا هِيَ عَمَالُكُمْ أُحْصِيهَا لَكُمْ ثُمَّ أُوَفِّيكُمْ إِيَّاهَا فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. O children of Adam, these are your deeds. All I do is record them, and then I will recompense you for them on the day of judgment. Reward or punishment, Allah just records, and then He will judge, and He will give you your due recompense. So Allah Azza wa Jalla then says in the Hadith al-Qudsi, فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا. So if you find good, then praise Allah. Why? Because Allah's multiplied, Allah's increased, Allah has given you more than that which you deserved. And if you find other than good, meaning evil, then don't blame anyone except yourself. Because Allah gave to you exactly that which you did in terms of evil deeds. وَإِنْ تَكُوا حَسَنًا. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla then says in verse number 40, and if it is a good deed, يُضَاعِفْهَا, Allah will multiply it. Allah will multiply it. وَيُؤْتِ مِنْ لَدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا, and He will give to you a tremendous reward of His own. And that is why the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wasallam, showing to us how this works in terms of good and evil deeds. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that if a person has a serious conviction, a sincere intention to do a good deed, Allah records it as a good deed even if they don't do it. And if they do it, then Allah multiplies it by 10 to 700 and maybe much more. And if a person does an evil deed, meaning they have the conviction to do it, then Allah records it as one and they do it. And if they have the evil conviction and then they stop, they turn away, they turn back to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah doesn't record it and Allah forgives them for it. And so therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all merciful and all just subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse 41, Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will they do when we bring a witness from each community with you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a witness against these people? Allah will draw from every nation witnesses that will testify against them as to whether they worshipped Allah alone, whether they obeyed their prophets and messengers that Allah Azza wa Jalla sent to them. And from all of those witnesses then that are drawn, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be witness over them. And so this hadith shows to us the level, the station, but also the responsibility that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And responsibility, we were speaking in the last episode about the responsibility of the husband. And we said the best of people in positions of responsibility, whether it's the husband or, for example, the employer or the leader of a state or someone, the best of them are those who understand that responsibility and it humbles them and makes them serve others. Look at this example here. From all of Allah's creation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be the one who will be witness over all of them. In the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu an, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Ibn Mas'ud to recite from the Quran. And Ibn Mas'ud said, O Messenger of Allah, should I recite when the Quran was revealed to you? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that indeed I love to hear others reciting it. And Ibn Mas'ud was known to be from the most fluent and most profound reciters of the book of Allah azza wa jal. So he started to recite from Surah An-Nisa. And he continued to recite until he reached this verse, verse number 41. And recited this verse. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said to him, enough. When Ibn Mas'ud raised his head and he looked at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw tears from his eyes sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being told that this is his responsibility. But look at what it does to him. It humbles him, makes him fear Allah azza wa jal, makes him understand the gravity of the responsibility that Allah azza wa jal has placed upon his shoulders. So likewise should be the leader, likewise should be the employer, likewise should be the teacher and the husband and the father and the mother. Allah's placed upon you a responsibility. Don't think that that gives you the right to be a dictator, the right to be a despot, the right to be a tyrant. What it should do is humble you and make you understand that just as Allah gave you that responsibility, that means that you have more scope to do wrong and oppression. And as a result of that, Allah Azza wa Jalla may punish you. And so this is something which humbled the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In verse number 42, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues and he says, يومئذ يود الذين كفروا وعصوا الرسول لو تسوى بهم الأرض ولا يكتمون الله حديثا. On that day, those who disbelieved and disobeyed the Prophet will wish that the earth could swallow them up. They will not be able to hide anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those witnesses are drawn from every nation, and they will testify upon those people. And from those witnesses, as we know, and as we mentioned at the beginning of the second juz of the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, from those witnesses also will be us, the Muslim Ummah, the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Allah azza wa jal says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us witnesses as well. We will testify to the truthfulness of the prophets and messengers and what they brought as a result of what Allah Azza wa Jal revealed to us in this Quran and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that those people then on the day of judgment, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, who refused to believe, who rejected their prophets and messengers, who rejected, for example, in this time, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, those people will wish that they would be destroyed, that the earth would simply swallow them up, that they will not be in existence. And that is because they will know the reality of that day, that they will now have an eternity of punishment. They would rather die and be destroyed. And that is why, as the Prophet told us sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when all of the people of Jannah enter into Jannah and are settled therein, and all of the people of the fire are in the fire and they are settled therein, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring out death in the form of a ram, an animal, a ram, and it will be slaughtered. And then it will be said to the people of Jannah, يَا أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ قُلُودٌ فَلَا مَوْتٌ. For you is eternity and no death. And it will be said to the people of the fire, يَا أَهْلَ النَّارُ, O people of the fire, قُلُودٌ وَلَا مَوْتٌ. There is for you also eternity and no death. And so those people will want to be destroyed. As Allah Azza wa Jalla will mention in a forthcoming surah and verse, that they will call out the people of the fire to the guardian of the fire, the angel that is in charge or charged with the guardianship of the fire. His name is Malik. They will say, وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكَ لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكَ. They will call out to Malik saying, Malik, O Malik, let your Lord destroy us in this fire. We would rather be destroyed than this incessant punishment that we are suffering. And he will say, إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. You will remain therein forever. May Allah Azza wa Jal save us from that punishment. In the final verse that we will take today, in today's episode, verse number 43, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى حَتَّى تَعْلَمُوا مَا تَقُولُونَ وَلَا جُنُبًا إِلَّا عَابِرِي سَبِيلٍ حَتَّى تَغْتَسِلُوا وَإِن كُنتُم مَرْضَى أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ أَوْ جَاءَ أَحَدٌ مِّنكُم مِّنَ الْغَائِطِ أَوْ لَامَسْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا فَامْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًّا غَفُورًا. O you who believe, do not come anywhere near the prayer if you are intoxicated, not until you know what you are saying, nor if you are in a state of major ritual impurity, though you may pass through the masjid, not until you have bathed, if you are ill on a journey, have relieved yourselves or had intercourse, and cannot find any water, then find some clean sand and wipe your faces and hands with it. Indeed, Allah is always ready to pardon and forgive. In this verse, we have a number of points that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions to us. The first of them is one of the stages in the prohibition of intoxicants and alcohol. So in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, as we know, before Islam came, it was very rampant and very commonplace that the people would drink intoxicants. Islam then came and it eventually prohibited this, but it was prohibited in three stages. The first stage is, as we mentioned in the previous verse, that people asked concerning intoxicants. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said that there is sin in it, but also some benefit, but the sin outweighs the benefit. That is simply Allah Azza wa Jalla saying that it's better to stay away. That's not a prohibition, that's the first stage. Better to stay away. The second stage is this verse, that Allah Azza wa Jalla says, don't come to the prayer in a state of intoxication. Meaning now, five times a day, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, and Isha, stay away from it. So the majority of the day and night, you stay away, but there's still times in which people can drink and so on, because the time, for example, between Isha and Fajr is a number of hours and so on. But generally speaking, stay away from it. This is the second stage. And the third stage is the one that we will come to inshallah ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am, where Allah prohibits it outright. So this was now the second stage, and that is that Allah Azza wa Jalla said, don't come to the prayer in a state of intoxication, that you're worshipping Allah and calling upon Allah and you don't even know what you're saying. Likewise, a person who is in a state of major ritual impurity, which is either through intimacy, sexual intimacy, or It is, for example, a woman that's been on her monthly cycle or postpartum bleeding after childbirth. Those people should not enter into the masjid in a state of major ritual impurity. There are certain things that you can't do, like, for example, praying, like, for example, making tawaf and so on. And from those things that you cannot do is you cannot sit in the masjid. You can't stay in the masjid unless you're simply passing through. So if someone's passing through, they need to pass through, it is permissible. But for them to come and sit in the masjid in that state, it is not befitting because of this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because that person is in a state of major ritual impurity, unless they make iqtisad, unless they take that ritual bath that will then cleanse them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, and if you are ill, or you are sick, or one of you has now relieved yourselves, or you've had intercourse, and you can't find water. This is now the verse of tayammum. So we know that the way that you come out of the state of minor or major ritual impurity is that you must cleanse yourself. For minor ritual impurity, it is wudu. For major ritual impurity, it is ghusl or the ritual bathing. However, if a person is in one of those two states, minor or major ritual impurity, and they can't access water, either they don't have water or they're not able to use water. So some people, because of the illness or an ailment that they have, to use water would make their situation worse. So they must avoid water for a temporary period of time. Or they don't have access to water. Maybe they're traveling and they don't have access to any water. Then the Sharia says that you can make tayammum. What is tayammum? It is to strike clean earth, the ground, and to wipe over your hands and your face, as Allah Azza wa Jal commands in this particular verse, to wipe over the face and the hands. And Allah Azza wa Jal is always ready to forgive and to pardon. And this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah Azza wa Jal opened for people this door of tayammum. And this is something which will be repeated again in Surah Al-Ma'idah. And inshallah ta'ala, when we get to that particular verse, we will speak about one of the reason and the cause of this revelation, which is the incident that took place with our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. Inshallah ta'ala, we will mention it there. There is one verse that is left on this page, but we will inshallah delay that to the next episode because it is connected with the verses that will come on to the next page. So inshallah, with that we conclude today's particular episode. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.